Okay, who stole August? I told you who stole August. I asked you. Put it back. I'll turn my back. Put it back. We're going to be getting cold weather a month early. Cold rain that's usually set up for all the little ones in costumes. What happened to that, folks? Hope you're preparing this year. I hear the Rockies are getting something early this year, as I told you, early in spring. We went right from spring to fall. We missed the season of August. I would surely like it back. This is BTWRLM338. For those of you on Aftercast, anywhere you find us, you can go to that search and you should be able to pick up the content links that I'll be talking about. For those of you that want to pick up what I'm doing, just subject matter wise, in the news, the notice to us, what's going on, what you got to be aware of, or not. You can go ahead and do whatever you want with the information, and this is the problem. It's not what you think and what you say and what you think you know, and even what you know, it's what you do about what you know. And that's what the Behind the Woodshed's all about, the evolutionary engagement. As we start to come aware of this mess that we've been born into, almost as a plan, and we are oblivious to normally, even those that want to profess to be so woke that they miss the joke, and that's the problem. There's a much better organization in the world than that we're brought into than I think people appreciate. Now, doesn't mean that we're defeated before we get going. In fact, I found that it's relatively easy to get at, but it's going to take a bunch of us because of the pervasiveness of the problems. One of the big problems is exploiting each and every one of you. If you heard last week, I was talking about the UN Operation Greta, and that's the exploitation of children, while they themselves, the children who don't know better, are used as the face of crime, and paid very well to do so. And so this is the point. You see the organization and the so-called money, the thing that fuels this world, working already against you. And you may acknowledge it. You may realize that, like in that case, that subject matter is climate change, which that's just a cover, a political weapon that covers a whole much bigger thing. And you can look at it on the surface. You can even go a little bit deeper, or you can start to work to dismantle all that. And I've explained my efforts with also with my colleagues and how we go about doing that. And that method, at least the method that we use against the method, has been successful, but only to the extent that the amount of things we can get to can be altered and changed and brought back to where it's supposed to be. As I conceive it now through land disposal law, there is a republic, and I see what it is that we're supposed to keep. For those of you that want to think that you know, most of the places I look, people don't have a clue, let alone do anything about how to get it back. I see lots of people that will say, again, their words, they stand ever vigilant against encroachment against this place they call the United States of America, the Republic, and yet I see no action on already the invasion that's happened. I see focus, last night Twitter came through about someone talking about a coup against the current president. My mind already saw that, but that's not a focus for me because that happens to lots of presidents. This is kind of interesting that we actually see this one out in the open, but no one's really working to stop in a lot of this stuff, and it's not the only coup if we're looking at the so-called republic, and that is a thing that can be identified. And so coming from the law of the land, literally the law of the literal land, you can come up and you can find what this republic ought to be. That it isn't right now, but that the black and white says it is there if you were to understand it. Like last week, talking about the very basics of identifying jurisdiction, that there's more than one, that these are the foundations of how this thing works, whether or not they're being subverted by coups to the republic. In part, I see the president, current president, as a coup against the republic in certain subject matters. Those aren't fascinating to me because they're there. They're not transparent to me. The coups of history that have taken down the republic that no one responds to. is they're really not an interest to me anymore, because I can't really do much about it, and certainly not by myself. And I can only work on those things that hopefully provide an example to those of you that finally get to the point when you really say, we got to do more and talk about it. We can't even use our excuse of learning more to stop us. We're going to have to work out what it is on the run, in the battle. And this really is a battle. I don't know if people appreciate that. I don't even know how many dimensions of chess it's being played on. I just know I can see a lot of the dimensions, and they have been able to be defeated at every turn. And they only get defeated when you focus on them, not talk about it. And this is my irritation again. I can feel it coming, folks. So I better stop, because it's just frustration's not going to do much. And then everyone just disassociates from that because they're out of their own frustration, and we still don't get together to work together to work it out. And we literally do have all that power. That part of the power we do have. But before we get there, we're going to have to be able to be getting there. We have to be aware enough. And I've told you a long time ago that when we saw the modernization of life, those modernization acts in the United States, it was the evidence that the invasion has happened and the laws were coming to take you down internally already. Before you even get here, we're still talking about them. They've happened a long time ago, and they made standards, and the people don't understand about the standards. I talk about the regulation standards all the time and how to address all that. For those of you that want to step up and protect yourself in the ways you understand or could, and I get very little feedback on that. But just to let you know, they're encroaching on everything that you would like. And the biggest industry will profess to be there to protect you, and in fact, you look deep enough, they're letting you, again, it's polluting you just a little bit, harming you just a little bit. So it's not enough to let you know, but over time, and your mind hasn't figured that part out. And this is the incrementalism of all the encroachments and exploitations. And the method is that if you do it right, no one notices. In Operation Greta, people are starting to notice. I think it's also helped that people like myself and others have been on the front end of repeatedly reminding everybody about things in that subject matter like climate change, which is only one part of a bigger matter, but a political weapon nonetheless. And no, it's not a hoax, folks. I see so many people talking about climate change as a hoax. And I mean, I'm talking about the political term, the political weapon called climate change, not that climate changes, the term that's been used, and they keep changing. That's why you can tell it's not real. That thing is not a hoax, folks. It's very real. And it's not a fake. It's a very real political weapon. What it is a fraud. And that's what you, if you, and therefore, in fact, I just know that I'm thinking about it, Twitter came through, and it was saying that we're going to give you 7 pills, a red pill, green pill test. I said, folks, get off the pills. You don't need pharmaceuticals, even in the analogy, in order to state that climate change is a fraud. You don't need to bring 7 scientific facts to prove as pills to counter the hysteria, as they're talking about in a psychological state. Folks, you just call it fraud, and it pretty much ends right there. I don't have to bring real science to argue against a fraudster. In fact, that actually gives that condition credibility to argue with it. As I keep telling you, don't make arguments. That, what I just told you, don't make arguments, extends across all things that you want to protect in yourself. You make an argument, you give the trespasser a foundation to start arguing with you, and then you hand it to the third party, or they themselves are the more powerful to make the decision, and you defeat yourself just in the discussion. It's kind of like I was talking last week about jurisdiction. I hope some of you were really thinking about that, and you could extend all this out. You go to someone else's house and you start arguing with them without exposing that you were actually compelled into the house and challenge the whoever did the compulsion was committing a crime, you're likely going to be treated about with the house master there. And so you walk into the criminal's lair and you start discussing what they're talking about and what you think is going on, you give it credibility instead of calling it out for the crime. As I was telling you, collateral attack does, in the sense of legality, in the sense of law process, there is a collateral attack to this imposition. You don't bring, I would, listen, you can put it in the court case. climate change and seven pills proving that climate change can't exist, is a hoax, whatever minimal contact you want to do, agrees to argue the case before a third-party arbiter, which is the Bar Association, which their paperwork says they already agreed to all that. They agreed to the fraud. They agreed to be promoters of the fraud. So why would you do that to yourself? Those of you that listened to my broadcast last week about jurisdiction, and a lot of you that didn't, if you're not listening today, you didn't hear this. It's interesting when I give some real technical responses. Not very many people show up. I always am fascinated by that. It's like they know not to touch it because it knows that they're going to have to learn something and have to do something about it. Those of you that heard this, the jurisdictional discussion, I even asked, where was the IPCC's jurisdiction to take the weather organization? Well, they don't have anything. So why would you argue? Why would you present so-called seven pills, because now we're into the pharmaceutical life. We got to take a red pill or a blue pill when both pills are a trap, folks. If you just step back, you don't need the pills. You say you're a fraud. You're a construct. You're not real, really. You're really real. You're an organized criminal organization trying to take advantage of me. At that point, I don't have to bring out any pills. I don't have any pharmaceuticals to hand myself because I'm not really hysterical anymore, and I'm not agreeing to be hysterical that I need those seven pills. And these are the kind of things that go on through the Twitter that I just realize that all the time. It actually irritates me. I'm watching. It's irritating me. Maybe not you. It irritates me to see. Because all this is, in my mind, breads and circuses. It goes on and on and on and on, and we don't really step up. And if I hadn't gone where I've done to step up where I thought we've can and done what we've done at a level I think is adequate, at least to provide an example, and no one has yet responded to say where there was a fault, I think I'm doing enough to be the example that I have. That example tells me and instructs me that I literally have the authority in me to observe the lesser, non-functioning, non-functional dysfunction, I guess we'll go say, when you have to resort to the memes of a movie that was telling you a truth that you shouldn't buy into the truth it was telling you as far as the movie, but should have taken note of how to use it to respond in the world. And I don't see people responding. And listen, it's not really for me. I'm really getting to the point I'm realizing more and more, maybe this is out of self-preservation for my own insane sanity. It's just not for me, folks. This is all for you that keep buying into this illusion and don't stop it. Wherever I walk with this stuff so far, I'm able to stop the stuff and it's all this nastiness in its tracks. And that's in my life where I go, not the stuff I can't deal with, the stuff I can deal with. Or we get the other angle, and that's silenced by those that are the criminals. And that's a bigger problem, in different problem. And so for all y'all that are coming up in the world and you want to pretend to be doing something and you pretend to be woke or you pretend to want to do something but you don't quite know where and you think, how am I going where I'm going? Where do I get to all this? Folks, I've just read a whole lot. I've just informed myself in an honest and truthful manner and been honest and about what my limitations. And I keep telling you that Protocols of Elders of Zion told you, when you find out there's someone that knows you better than yourself always, that's a bit humbling, I'll tell you that, number one. Number two, and it really makes you look at stuff a little bit different. Because it's almost as if, and I can't say it's a paranoia, you end up looking, you start turning over stones a couple times to make sure you didn't miss a place that could be a deception. Doesn't mean you waste time on it. It just means you're very thorough on proving what you are going to move, the knowledge you're going to move on. And so one of the aspects here is to exploit you as a people around the world. And one of the aspects is to bring you equal with corporations because that's one of the legal constructs. One of the coups against the so-called republic that no one ever fought and never ever, you may talk about it, but you don't go after exactly what the cause is in any substantive way. And this news came out and it hits me because I kind of like coffee. And I wondered when we were going to see this, because I wondered when Juan Valdez and his donkey were going to rip people off or cause harm to them, because I didn't know what was going on. But Nestle steps up. No, they're the great hero now. Nestle stepped up to testing after finding high levels of dangerous weed killer in coffee beans. All right. Glyphosate. Monsanto. I don't know how much damage this corporation is going to be continued to allow to be done. Regulations happen in Europe to try and limit some of this. Remember, the GMO is not sitting too far behind this. But let me read the top of the story. Apparently, beer and wine aren't the only beverages containing surprisingly high levels of glyphosate, a purported carcinogen and one of the most widely used herbicides in the world. It's the main ingredient in the weed killer Roundup. Okay, so they even put a question on the carcinogenic problem. Let me get away from that. We can get into the argument. They were told us that this is supposed to be non-persistent. They lied. It's persistent. Otherwise, it wouldn't be in the food. And so this is our first problem. I won't even get into it. I mean, pesticides kill things. And if you want to do anything, you're probably going to have to use them on a mass scale. This is just part of the reality. So I don't even know where the answer, the line is, except that when you start entering into discussing purported carcinogen and this and that about this product that we now find is not supposed to be somewhere, and a company is stepping up supposedly when it finds high levels of dangerous weed killer, they agree it's dangerous. Something that was supposed to be non-persistent is there and dangerous right from the title. But guess what? You go read a little bit down there where their statement is. Don't read the story. Just pointing up, here's how you identify they don't really care about the Clean Water Act. You get to pollute the water just so much and it's okay. If you lie about what you polluted, then that's a crime. Otherwise, you get to pollute so much all the time. And there's a reason for some of that. Now, what gets thrown in the pollution may be a bit of a problem. I've discussed this with the Fukushima water. I've explained all this before. And there's ways to address it. But there's a reality about us functioning in the world. Now, corporations their sole purpose anymore, and I don't know why we allowed this to change as a people or society even before my generations, a couple generations before, they allowed corporations to have the same rights. Corporations are people too is a lie, but we allowed it. That should have been fixed. You should have had a way to get rid of any corporation that doesn't protect you. And yet we don't, and no one stopped us. And if you look very carefully, one of the coups that happened to Republic is the Bar Association. They did that. And I won't go through, I've already discussed how that happened. That took over a bunch of your states the same way, the same method. But let me say, go back to what Nestle's the hero now, finding high levels of a dangerous weed killer in their food is. We actively monitor chemical residues, including glyphosate. You get the problem already here, folks, in their own statement? Glyphosate's not supposed to be persistent. And they're monitoring residues. So there's a level. And so we've got a problem in the very first statement opening, and they're agreeing to make their product with this residue. We actively monitor chemical residues, including glyphosate, in the green coffee that we purchase. Switzerland-based Nestle said in a statement, quote, "This monitoring program has shown that in some green coffee lots, chemical residue levels are close to the limits defined by regulations. We are reinforcing our controls, working with suppliers to ensure that our green coffee continues to meet regulations all around the world." In this case, thank you, EU, for having a more stringent acceptance of what could be in, the glyphosate could be in, these weed killers, these pesticides could be in your food. But you know what? There's still something that's not supposed to be there. Why? Because the company said they were supposed to be non-persistent. Why am I worried about levels when it's not supposed to be there? That it's there is a problem. Nestle's is willing, it's on the same theory of the Clean Water Act. You can pollute a little bit, long as you're within regulations. That license to harm you, they can't be found liable as long as they keep on it. This is all the notice to you. They're on it, and they're going to maintain that the residues they do find, which some arbitrary government has said is okay for you, and they didn't answer the non-persistence problem, says it can be in your food. So all of you drinking coffee, likely in this way they make the way it's system, they said some. Well, that means how do you identify where is the identification of none? You have to assume that it's in your coffee now, as they went after your beer and they went after your wine, and you whined, but you didn't insist to stop, and now they're after your coffee. All right, so they are okay with regulated levels of glyphosate. And I don't want to go through too much further than to say, remember, the glyphosate affects your gut bacteria, which is key in your health, and it also binds with minerals, which is key in your health. That a government says it's okay doesn't necessarily mean it's okay. It's okay for commerce. It's okay for limited liability, folks. These are not the scales of strict liability that you are put under. And I don't know, boy, I hesitate. I tell you, there's a thousand things go through my mind literally when I'm talking to you. Let me go back quickly to jurisdiction. Did you think, I don't know that anybody did, and I didn't mention it, did you think that maybe the jurisdiction that's listening to you that doesn't, that puts you in strict liability, limited liability where you had strict and that you were limited to strict liability, is another argument in favor of the fact they don't have authority over you? And then we start getting backdoor into what most people will say is, if I didn't harm no one, I shouldn't be held liable. Well, that's the truth, but you don't know quite how this system works, so you talk from the front door instead of having to go in the back door. It's like having to stop Western firefighters. You think we said, oh, just start harvesting and it worked? No, everyone resisted that. We said, okay, you can't stand the smoke. How about if we invoke the police powers, the power to beat down people who start fires, and we'll use it that side? Oh, okay, let's do that. This thing is completely nonsense how our minds work. So we went through the door that people would accept. Why? Because the fire's killing everybody and no one seems to have a thought on how to fix it. Same way here. We're not, see, the fire resolution was no fires during fire season, folks. Here, glyphosate should have been no glyphosate in any product in the market. Why? Because the acceptance by the agencies was non-persistence. We now have proof of persistence, and we now have a way to get back at it if you're interested through the agencies. And we could throw injunctions if you want to get into this side and start to push hard. And my mind just kind of laughs a little bit. We had 10,000 people. How many million people we have? We talked about this a long time ago. All the Americans in this country want to believe they're free, want to believe that they live a life that's not imposed upon. And you see this stuff in over 10 years that I've been broadcasting, and longer since I've been doing the research. No one really responds in properness that I tell you how to do this. And if we had 10,000 people that would focus in on this in multiple jurisdictions that could get together to fight different aspects of this so you don't all come in sounding like the same form letter, do you realize what you could do in all this? I don't think you do. I give you a pause and think about it. Yeah, oh yeah, that sounds like a good. No, it's not going to happen, folks. I don't say that because I want to hear that to be the future. That's going to be the reality. Now, it's going to take your will to change that. What my hesitation of my presumption against your future performances. You're going to have to grow out of that into what you can do. They allow food. This is the Clean Water Act restated here, folks. They allow glyphosate in your food, and they're just going to make sure that they don't get caught beyond the limited liability the regulation has given them. Now, in some places, residues can be okay. I'm just going to give it to you that far. In other words, you have to be looking at also being not so resistant to what needs to happen that just can't. There's just certain things that we do in a so-called modern society, not a modernized society, but a modern society, with our conveniences and the things that we've built that are wasteful. And we need to be more attentive to that. But when you start to allow toxins into your system just for a buck, then we have a problem. And no one is checking these things. Put a lot more time into this one. This, to me, I started reading this, and just here in one story, if you looked at it, would tell you your whole world, how screwed up your whole world is. But it also, if you knew the process of it, the system processes, you see that it's been let to do this, and this shouldn't be okay. All the, like I said in the chat room, just threw it out there, this part that came through in one of the questions, I think maybe Vin E said it. I said, he wanted to go get a coffee. I said, this is going to be a glyphosate latte. They admit here it's in your food, folks. Now, some of you may not care about it. Who cares? Drink my coffee. That's fine. Don't complain when stuff starts falling off of you, though. And you'll probably say, oh, that's okay, I won't. It's worth it. And again, that's one of the principal problems that we have. It might be over time. When you get to the time when the stuff starts falling off you, you're ready to check out of this place anyway, right? Got nothing else to live for. Who cares? And so, it's right here. This one article talks about all kinds of stuff. If you knew how to read between the lines, and they would Nestle's want to take. They're doing a real smart promotion here. They want to tell you that they're on the front end of making sure that the harm they do to you is within the regulation, the licensed right to harm you. But it's there, folks. All this stuff, all these bad things are pervasive, and we haven't really engaged with the systems that are there to limit or eliminate them. And I've offered over a decade how to start the rudiments of beginning to start getting to do that in order to get you into the way to move you from observing the problem, complaining about the problem, and then doing something about the problem. And I'm not making that rule. I'm not saying you have to do that because I have to say it. I say it. It's there, and the system has been wired against us. We lost that republic when we lost respect for ourselves and weren't vigilant to protect ourselves and down to each on our own and look out around us and protect people against the invasion and others in things in us. It's quite an obligation at some level. And it's really a selfish obligation because if you don't protect it in someone else you see being taken down, it gets taken from you. And the adage we hear about, I was there when they took this, and I was there when they took them, and when they took them over there, but when they came for me, there was no one there to protect me. This is now in subject matter areas of harm against you. And so this is a pretty clear, in my mind, pretty clear we have things to do. There's not, again, it's a target-rich environment, and all I ask is, are you going to step up and be responsible and just choose a wrong and work to make it right? And I already know if there's numbers of people, and it takes a little more integration than just rioting, but if there's numbers of people that are working in a what apparently disorganized manner, but hitting the same subject matter from all different angles, the system can't keep up, folks. And if you do it correctly and you put them like in the aspects that I talked to you about to reassert your innocence, their objective duty and obligation, and put it in the context that they don't have the right, then your statement becomes a lot better. And here, how do you say they don't have the right? You go point it out in the black and white, because they're not going to take your opinion. The system is corporate. Go ahead, you can say get lost in that, but it means something functionally. It's all in record, folks. It's, I don't know, the written record is in the so-called modern society is how this thing gets worked through. And if you think kind of carefully, that's what they educated you on when you went through school. And I say beyond the indoctrination part, they were telling you your future life was going to be in certain ways, and these are the things you're going to need to know, the most basic stuff, and this is what you'll need, whether you recognize or not, and they've given you the tools to fight back. So that's when you're fighting back. But you don't want to fight back physically. And you certainly don't want to call and have someone check on you anymore. Again, the system is not really there to check your welfare. They're there to extend their license as far as they can and pull a profit somewhere down the road. Now, what does it profit the government to kill its own citizens? I haven't quite figured out yet. But that brings up another analysis, and it brings us into the idea that maybe we don't live in the place that we were told. And that's another clue that we should have been more vigilant to observe the problems and begin to work against the harms that are given license to have others commit against us. Okay, these are the people that are, you look I mean, Juan Valdez and his donkey. Oh, God, does anybody know that? Does anybody remember that? That was a big promotion, right? We get into Juan and his hard work and his donkey. Bringing us those coffee, that coffee that we like so much in the world. So you have this, kind of these images in your mind. You don't realize behind that image is this horror. Acceptance of harms. And really only, they don't want to, not for the sake of the coffee that they're shipping it out. It's a profit, ultimately. It used to be when families got involved, you may have done it because that was your family, your interests, maybe even your genes were tailored to do certain things. Like, we can see that in mining. Miners are real particular people. The ones that are actual miners, not the ones that pretend. Those are historically known to be very particular people. And so there is a thought about how production works in the world historically. And it takes particular people. So old Juan Valdez made a good front, but what you had behind it was people like Nestle, people. See? People are corporations too. Oh, wait a minute. They said that the other way and you didn't catch it, right? So old Juan Valdez makes the face. What is it, like a stalking horse? And they shoot you from the rear, given license to do so by a regulator in government, and you didn't check any of that. And so these regulators in government come out, and they're going to do check you by their standard. And we get stories like this. Cop shoots and killed beloved mother in her own home while checking on her welfare. And I've talked about this community care stuff. I've talked that you have to jump in and make rules to stop this nonsense. Here's another story that happened back a bit ago. I could tell you all about the story. You don't have to. But I will actually, what you might hear about this, oh, horrors about the mother got shot on a welfare check. That's predictable, folks. Stop calling the cops. But see, society is so absent, they don't understand this. And then they don't make us that statement. They don't say, we can't call you because you're going to harm us, and commit the obligation to prove that they won't, the sides that will kill you, prove, show, and make policy on their own that they won't come and do this. That they will make the standards and they will write it if they won't listen to you against killing a beloved mother. My problem with this is the story and the headline. Would it be better if the mother was not beloved? Would that title have made it more or less important if that was not a beloved mother? Because if that mother was a real mother, maybe she deserved it. And this is my problem with this reporting, even the alternative side. The adjective beloved is irrelevant here to the cops coming in and shooting you on a welfare check because some neighbor called in on looking out for you. A word to the wise, I don't know how many times we've said it, I'm not the only one. Where you're living in a place that turned on you and you didn't check it. You're living in a place that under the care... Look at Nestle's, I'm coming to help you. We're going to keep our glyphosate levels underneath the regulation. And you miss the fact that they're going to go ahead and make product with glyphosate in it. And I say, it doesn't matter if it causes cancer and this and that. They said it was non-persistent. And they said that because they knew it was going to do harm. If they said it was persistent, then they'd have to do all the tests to prove it didn't do the harm if you were vigilant to pull it off. That's fraud. That is an answer in itself, folks. Well, I tell you, don't argue about climate change. It's a fraud. Don't have to argue now. You got a criminal in front of you. Is a criminal going to listen to the 7 scientific facts why it's a fraud? A hoax? No, it's not a hoax. It's a fraud. It's a crime. And it's an organized crime. And there's big money behind it if you didn't understand what Operation Greta pays the abused child to be the little actress that she is. Cops shoot a mother in her own home. Was sufficient for me to know. We've got a problem here, folks. They're not caring about your health. I'm singing to the choir here on some of this, but those of you that I'm singing to the choir to have to make this more private to you and say that's not right. I'm going to have to do something to stop it. And if not this subject matter, anything else. Something that you're more conducive to agree that needs to be stopped. It's really nonsense when I see people take on what they'll rather talk about and only talk about instead of what they'll grapple with. And for those of you that don't understand tactic things with touching, grappling didn't mean anything to you, did I? Well, you could see what I just said, didn't I? No, those that use your eyes and in your mind instead of your fingers, you probably understood that. When you hear a problem, those of you have the audio, you're driven by audible cues. See, they know how we're separated. You're only listening to the words that I say that kind of trigger in your mind the response that you're more adept at. And there's lots, and they're more, and they're different. You will respond to the world different. The problem is the world is already there, and it's not changing much until you change it. And I'm talking about the negative, the harmful parts. Polio vaccine, still causing polio after all these years. Another administrative condition, another lie, a fraud, not a hoax, that harms people but's given license. And they're okay as long as they put it on their data sheet. I keep telling you to read that. You'll find the paragraph that shows the harms, if you didn't know harms are there. I don't have to be anti-vax to know the harms are there. And then if I do a little more research, I find out that it's not predictable who's going to be in those harms. And then you research a little bit more and you find out, actually, the shots are actually causing shedders. So the polio vaccine is still causing polio after all these years. This is not the only vaccine that causes the harm. What more do I need to know? If I'm someone who has a grandchildren or little ones or my own sons or daughters, and I'm being faced with a mandatory imposition of some official that never had the right to impose harm, never had the right to make a record to be able to impose harm, is starting to impose harm. And I've explained how you can put yourself, at least for now, because there's not much else we can do because we don't have the masses, you go ahead and use your minimal status to show you're within the minimums that they're not, that they say wouldn't affect that system. But when you find out that the polio vaccine is causing it, and you go to the data sheet for that, and you go over to the other vaccines, you see the same thing in those areas. And I'm not even talking to the fact that there may be strains of it they don't have a vaccine for, why flu can be had, why you can still catch a flu after you get a flu shot, if the flu shot didn't hurt you or kill you, or impose upon an immune system that was not capable of handling it. They don't tell you all this stuff. The choir here would know about that. But those of you that understand that and listen to what I'm saying about how to refine what you say in order to address the problem, in order that you do address the problem and don't become a bunch of noise against a system that won't hear it, but you actually address and solve the problem. Those of you, I would think you have an obligation to step up and be that example. I would hope so. Otherwise, what's the point? What's the argument? What's the complaint, really? So, polio vaccine still, I don't have to read the story. This is an ongoing saga of limited license to corporations and governments to harm you. And they do it on a national security, or in other words, police power imperative. And I told you years ago, if you didn't step into that quick and head them off, they were going to do it, and that may not be survivable. We may not be able to get around that. And I think they've done it. I'm actually looking around. I think they've done it. I keep talking to you about it. And I keep even giving you ideas, even though they went there first. They understood how to do this against you before you figured it out. I came here to tell you looks like they did it. But here you can still go after them. It's such a small, narrow path now. But it's still a path. So you see, this is done for people's health. And it's not actually, and they don't look at this. I read these articles, there's actually a lot to talk about. I don't have the time on this broadcast to tell you about it. All I can tell you, here's another point, here's a notice, here's evidence that any one of you who really want to get something going and done in this subject matter, well, that means I'm only talking and speaking really on this subject matter to just those of you that understand this a bit better and feel compelled to do something, then there's the evidence in order to start working down the path to stop allowing the government and companies to harm you, notwithstanding what Congress has done in the United States. And then you could also work this globally between people in different philosophies to pull together to bring the different aspects together that are needed to shut this down. The harm's down. Not the good stuff. And this is how you also, you show that there's a good thing, and then you show that you're also seeing the bad thing, and that way you're not in a position where you just always see bad. And I say that because what came back to us is the when there was that meeting with the commissioner and the president, one of the first things that was said was, I can work with this agent, but I can't work with this agency. And so that you don't come in as someone that the denier, they want to pigeonhole everybody into. If there's more, not a fraud, if there's a rational reason for what they do in the reality of us existing for what we do, you acknowledge that, and that brings you into a more reasonable state before those that are the criminals. They lose more power. They lose more power to agree that the things like a polio vaccine that's still causing polio. You can go read how and why. They actually, in this case, in this story, I guess I should explain, there was some people looking, the regulators looking at this. Even though they were putting the polio, there's like three, I think this is the three types of polio. They claimed, they thought they eradicated type 2. And so they were looking at, and the big deal here was that they do it another admission in the story. The big deal is they looked at the fact that it would be unethical to continue type 2 vaccination inclusion in the trivalent vaccine, and they decided to reduce it to a bivalent vaccine. In other words, they removed type 2 because it was a risk to people. And now we're back to risk management, aren't we? What I've been saying to you the whole time. Risk management against what insurance claim? And so they explain these vaccines are evidence of harm. They know that. And there was someone trying to be ethical. And then it backfired, proving they have no clue how this thing works as well. This is the other story within the story. I'm not talking to you about vaccines or polio. I'm talking to you about decision makers that maybe even in the best interest are still causing harm. And that was avoidable. And the other problem is that we see some of this shedding idea, or even the ones they couldn't get, and it came back more virulent on top of it, they start to become those that can spread. And so I just, again, to me the answers are here as far as what to grab onto in a focused manner, not in a generalized protest manner. In a focused manner against people, particularly with the obligations to make these decisions for everyone. It can be a tough job. In fact, I won't give them any credit for this, but like the federal agencies and land management, they're really stuck between a rock and a hard spot between the environmentalists and those that want to use the land. The problem is they didn't take the law route, and now they got themselves in trouble. And so some policymaker, if you will, who really doesn't stick close to the... If you don't actually settle in the moral part of it a bit, particularly in this manner, you're going to run into these problems, and you're going to extend to people, no, corporations are people too, extend to people the lie that they're a people, what you can't do. And so, on and on, this is, to me, the interest here is not about the polio vaccine, it's that they tried to make it less risk, admitting that there's risk. Admitting Nestle's admitting it's dangerous glyphosate. But they'll still do ahead. They've got to do this thing. They're still going to do a little bit. And I suspect that'll backfire too, because it's not the principal answer. How about just remove the glyphosate? How about just make it, listen, make it non-persistent, okay? Maybe that would still be better. How about if we just go back to the truth of that? Why aren't they making it non-persistent? Why have they not made it non-persistent? I mean, I already have the answer to that. I'm not going to talk about it. Why would you not talk about something that's obvious? And the reason is, they're lying. There's a fraud. Why would you engage arguing the harms of glyphosate? Why would you discuss and argue the amounts in the food. It's a fraud that it's there at all. It's a crime that it's there, actually. But it started at the process of the administrative thing that I keep telling you. Don't protest out in the street or in the YouTube or in wherever, so face palm or wherever. Go to where your words, your concise words, will do something. And if it doesn't do something, as I've identified, you push their duty and obligation against the black and white. Empower yourself. A lot of people have a problem with the word empower. But put power to yourself. Become the force to be reckoned with. You're not going to do it chatting around and talking on the internet. You might do it in if you're talking and communicating these subject matters to move you into action. That might help. But just passing these informations around really does nothing. Literally does nothing. We're here today. That proves that. A Prozac maker paid millions to secure favorable verdict in mass shooting lawsuit. Prozac and mass shooting. Why would they do that, folks, unless there's a connection? This is a big story in my mind. Well, who's going to jump on it and start to use it as their evidence of things going on and evidence the system that can be played and the rules working underneath? In other words, this is an agreement between the parties, even the public, with a false representation. They were able to do the rules in order to make it that the Prozac maker wouldn't be outed for their product being involved with mass shootings right through the legal system. You need to read the story to see how that works, because that's a real dynamic. I'm not saying I agree with it, and I'm not even saying I may have an answer for this one. If you're not involved in that closed suit, you don't have a say. And so you start seeing the compartmentalization right in your face about how this works. And what's the real important thing here that they don't want you to understand, that these products like Prozac may be the underlying cause. And I say that in generics, and let the people, that those of you that are interested, that have loved ones that have died or killed or whatever, or stuck or addicted and doing harmful things, are having trouble, you might be able to realize how we come here and start to reverse engineer how we got here and then eventually do something to stop it. Okay, I'm not here on any particular thing. I'm here, you got any subject matter that you think is a bad deal? I think, the way I see it, there's mechanisms to stop it. Now, what those are will certainly change subject matter and instance by instance. That's why there's no cookie cutter behind the woodshed. And that's why I can't offer too many generic applications, because they're dangerous. If you do them wrong, you'll lose. You waste your time, you'll lose, and then you don't get what you should have got. At least, like when I'm looking at something, I say, wow, okay, we have a pathway. And we can exploit that. And in a way, you're looking also for what? For things that they don't understand or they can't deal with. That's how, really, the environmentalists are defeatable. If the people in North Dakota, the Indian tribes in North Dakota, would have listened instead of been arguing with me and angry with me and then didn't listen, they would have had the tools in order to do as far as they could have instead of what happened to them. Again, it's the same bureaucratic, in this case, non-judicial at this point, conditioning that you do in the record beforehand. And in a way, I can see why you should do that, because that's non-threatening, non-jeopardy, there's no jeopardy, and you can actually see, and this is part of the reason why it's done this way, you can actually get down to the last little bits of the issues that are really the ones, the questions, and you don't get played. Like I've been talking to you about the stalking horse condition. Those that have a better idea how they play you against what you think you are versus what you really are, and how they play the matter in order to get the agenda they want. So when you understand that climate change is a scam, global warming is a scam, you understand that you start looking at why are the oil companies into promoting climate change, and then you find out about a carbon market, and then you find out about carbon sequestration, and then you find out that the climate change is a weapon used for sustainable development, and the Bar Association agrees with it, maybe you'll start to understand how layered this thing is, that maybe the Bar Association will agree with the oil company, And you better understand and factor that in to bring in oil, even though they're complaining about it. Okay, I'm pausing. A lot of information there. My mind's going through a whole scenario while I'm talking to you. I'm just trying to get the words out to convey it to you. There's a gig. Everyone's being scammed at a very deep level. Unless you start getting at the core of it and get off your emotions about it, you're not going to prevail. You're not going to even get to the first steps. And here I see every week notices to us on how we will do that. In a methodology that is almost, it's almost cookie cutter. The difference and the distinction is within the subject matter and the particularities. Those are the things that you have to build in. Moving on. Do you think EPA, government cares about you? You think that, again, you think that they are actually doing things that look out for you? The EPA, I don't know why we keep talking about it. I mean, I'm back to climate. It seems to be the news. It seems to be the focus of how you identify this method that goes in every facet of life. The EPA happens to be one of the pillars of the implementation of sustainable development of the UN. How many times have I done broadcasts on that? Go read the documents if you don't believe me. I don't have to prove it to anybody. Inside the organization, they've got problems. Inside, they have people that are criminals. They get somehow the caucusocracy is everywhere anymore. Our notions of goodness didn't exude into these institutions. And we weren't vigilant enough to keep check of that. Don't forget, climate change guru EPA's highest paid bureaucrat said lying was a rush. So we got people in the organization, if they think they can get away with it, and they do in lots of times. This guy didn't. They're living on their base nature. They're living on their ideological extremism. And that's why you have to have that black and white. That's why I tell you to go there first to see what's the rule for the limitations. Remember, we said jurisdiction is a limitation as well. It's defined somewhere. It doesn't extend outside. And yet, you walk inside and try to think that you're not there. And we talked about the presumption this guy was not lying. And we have every evidence that's all that goes on. On top of the fact that we're talking about climate change, we're talking about the pillar. You know, one notices that the EPA is a pillar of the sustainable development. The Bar Association promotes sustainable development. How hard is it now when you start seeing these elements to think we got a bigger issue that we need to be cognizant of if we're going to approach these things more than saying climate change is a hoax? No, it's a weapon, a political weapon. It has nothing to do with science. And the people in the EPA are there. They're an agency of the United States government to promote this harm, punitive harm against you. Is another evidence here, not just that this guy lies, but that it's a systemic thing and you can't trust anything that's coming out of them. And then how do you prove that? You show they're not willing to even do the black and white. What comes off the top of my head right there? Well, we're dealing again with something coming through. The administration's talking about the definition for the waters of the United States. Why? Because the EPA wants to extend it out to every prairie pothole, I don't know how many tens of thousands of miles away from a water source that they're going to control. When in fact, it has to do with a very narrow navigable river inundation area and the navigable river itself. So if they're the EPA's implementation of UN agenda and policies and sustainable development, why wouldn't they want to grab to the highest levels in the highest mountains? That doesn't make it lawful. And so you have to come in and say, well, these people lie. They're willing to lie. They get a rush out of lying. They don't follow the law. Here's the basics of the law. And here's what we say your interpretation is. Why? Because nobody to this date has actually interpreted it at all correctly, let alone close. And so you build in a way to get at your problem. This happens to be with these EPA regulations. It could be with any subject matter. The letting, doing a wellness care, and the woman who you're caring, or you're going to do check on, kill her. That can be dealt with. You have to focus in and do that. These pharmaceuticals that are made, they're finding out are harming you. Those can be dealt with on a couple of levels, actually. You remember, you got the market side as well. And so, don't forget, is the title of this, the EPA got a rush out of lying. Now, they're going to distance themselves from this guy, so don't rely on it. The point is, it's a culture, okay? You get into how you discuss this. In everything, you can start building a scenario of plausible environment that is conducive to allow this harm. And you don't do it, again, always got to say, you don't do it with your opinion. You think it's going on. You get the evidence, if you can, or you develop the pathway to get the evidence. Or as I've shown you, when they don't give you the evidence, and you can tie it to the covering up of a crime, you now can bring them into felony. You have to think this way and establish this set of facts and make a record of it. You're not going to get at it by just complaining. Well, the climate change is a hoax. It's just not going to happen. The Prozac causes murders. It's not going to happen, folks. There's a whole dynamic protecting a commercial system. There's a whole dynamic that, again, you can see it in the Lieber Code. The military protects itself. And I say that's in the negative because when you see that the proclamation of the Civil War wasn't ended, the military becomes one of the coups against the Republic, and nobody shut it down. Even though there was self-evident, maybe you couldn't. Maybe there was a self-evident proof that we couldn't keep it. And so I'm looking at that object, that potential, and I'm saying, okay, even within that, what can I do? And I'm asking you to consider that you take on that attitude as well, if you really care. And if you don't, I don't know what to say. It's the decisions that you make. But I would rather that you don't waste your time trying to thinking that you know something and try to facilitate others into doing maybe the bidding you don't want to do by putting information out. And in particular, because you're not studying likely wrong information, which I got experience on dealing with this week in Twitter. I mean, it's really fascinating how much bad information gets passed around that people don't even recognize, that someone's trying to make a point that's not a point, and when you try to tell them that, they get mad at you. They actually claim that you're irrelevant. And again, that didn't last long for the other guy, but the point, or gal, I don't know who these people are, but the point is the social media passes such trash information that passes is okay. And nobody ever puts it into practice to find out. And I'm glad that sometimes they don't, because if they put that idea into these ideas into practice, they're going to find out how fast it works. Kind of like standing outside the bar and saying, "I'm not coming in," while you're standing there telling a judge that. You'll see how fast that works anymore. Instead of putting a paper in that challenges the as I was talking to you last week, the obligation of the other party, the state's attorney in this case. Anyway, climate change guru just got a rush out of lying. He's also part of one of the coups against the Republic, if I can put it in the context of the email set that I saw, which is valid information if you can do something with it, totally irrelevant if you can do nothing with it. And what have I said on this? Is again, last week I put it out, responding to Jill Stein, responding to try and diss Barack Obama about the climate change and Greta Thunberg. They're both in on it, folks. They both will use one end against the other in order to advance that cause. And unless you catch that, you're likely not going to stop it or come anywhere close. And that means you're going to have to be engaged. Not because you want to give the 7 scientific facts, but because it's a fraud going in. It was a weapon, a punitive weapon. We add punitive because in the governmental sense, that's what they're not supposed to do, where they have no right to do so. They don't have, it's extend, they don't have the limit is not into the area of punitive harm without due process. If you don't speak that way, you sound like any other denier that can be dismissed. And then we waste decades, folks, waste decades doing this, as we're going to continue, even though it looks like things are turning in that subject matter. Again, I said climate action is a Friday for fraud, not Friday for future. It's man-made, Michael Mann-made. Global warming is treason. That's not an opinion. I got a judgment, default judgment, that the political parties, at least in the minimum, the political parties and the Bar Association agree to, right? That climate change is politics. If you think that the regulations are more than the limited liability to promote commerce, you're missing the point. If you don't speak to that, you're missing the point. You'll be dismissed. If you walk in with your opinions, they do these things are no good and do harm, you'll miss the point and they will ignore you. Well, again, in practice, we get, let's say, a county, seated decision in the county, let's say a commissioner or supervisor, to form their objection in a particular way. All of a sudden, they create the standing within the power they have to be able to make the decisions that they were being run down on before when they made other statements or didn't make a statement at all. The utility is like night and day, folks. It's why I am committed to come here and tell you about it, hoping beyond hope that people start hearing what I'm saying, listen to it, hear it, and then act on it in earnest. It's not an experiment. It's not something that puts anybody in jeopardy. It's a matter-of-fact method against the method. The law allows hospitals to kidnap you for profit. This is I told you before about psychological holds, how they use this. It says the law, there is a statute that allows it to be exploited, that if in the future, and they're going to be moving this in farther and farther in utility as they do this, because corporations make profit from this little nuance relative to claiming you need help and psychological help. And this is in Florida. They get to put you in, a doctor can put you in, it's called an involuntary hold, for 72 hours. The way the law is written, though, and I don't agree with this as far as if you were just having trouble psychologically and you needed the help, but you weren't actually harmed in your psychology, just had a rough time and things were just overwhelming, but you weren't lost, you weren't gone, you could, if you had the tools of the equitable remedies, you could collaterally attack this and expose this. And so I find this to be almost an Achilles heel for the system. But they use this system of being able to, without probable cause, extend the time that a mental health facility can hold people without due process and against their will. And the reason is they make $1,500 a day. That ought to be a crime, and it's the reason for the story. It ought to be a crime, but it's not. So I'm focusing to tell you, this has been used for a long time, these medical holds. This case, it was done by the request of the party, the man who felt he needed help. And they exploited him. You think they're here to help you. And it all comes down to the bottom line. How much bucks can they take from you? And what can they control? And I don't even know if part of the story is not even said in this story. I think if you can't pay, they can attach your property. This is what the government does on the social services side. So this is an extension of that. My point is here, you think these people are there to help you when in fact the laws are written for them to exploit from you, and none of us have stepped up to stop this part. For those of you that have ever been involved in this, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But it looked like to me in this, I see that you can expose this from inside the hold by doing a remedy that points out that they're, again, using this as a fraudulent method for more money, and then they apply your right to not consent over the right that the statute says they have the right to hold you, where they can show no actual reason. In other words, there's no medical reason. If psychiatry can be considered medical. And then you now hold them up against this thing that they've been exploiting in the law, and you also work to get it stopped. You fix the problem. you have to have written in or you actually move in, then you make sure that this can't be done. You have to look at this problem and find out how are they able to not keep people underneath some administrative, judicial administrative timing problem. How to stop that? So they can't use the 5 extra days that they put you in court to when you challenge it, or that when it's challenged against you or the state of the tax. See, the taxpayer, it's a theft of the taxpayer as well. This would be like almost a whistle. I could also see a whistleblower case. The point is we have a authority, the state, saying that they're going to come to help you. They're coming to help you, and then they exploit you. The woman, in the beginning story, got all her civil rights, didn't she? Yes, she paid the ultimate price, the exactions of every kind. Underneath a cover of care. And that, to me, is clearly, you're able to say, under the color of a title that the government actually doesn't have, they took a life which they didn't have a right to do. That's felony. That's extortion of a life and the right to a life. If you just say it's wrong what they've done, you're not really going to go far. Some people will agree with, I would agree with that, but that's not going to change the next time the cops are knocking on your door because some neighbor was helpful. So just Florida's Baker Act allows doctors, police, and judges to involuntarily commit patients to psychiatric hospitals for up to 72 hours if they show signs that they may hurt themselves or others. So one of the clues is there, folks, don't ever say you want to feel like you want to hurt yourself, even if you feel that. Because there might be other ways that you can move around that. And for those of you that feel this way, make sure you seek the help. I'd rather see you in a place to put yourself in a place of quiet for a while you work through the problem than to really act on what your feelings are, because that's what they are. And to me, that may be a misbalance, an imbalance in your system, and you need to work on that, not necessarily anything else. But anyway, I can't say about that. If you need help, go get it. But be aware when you say this that there's consequences and you will be subject to exploitation. The man only felt like that. He was fine within a few days, and then they kept him. And it's because the law has been set up to allow this anomaly. This is the same anomaly that's set up in lots of places to take advantage of you in other areas. I guess I'm pointing that part out because I tell you, I look at these as subject matters of problems. The subject matter of this could be a different one, and you find the same loopholes, so-called, that are in there to do the exploitation, which if you go back and look, you can actually start to seal it up or actually seal it up. Why I say if you don't want cops to come shoot you while they're looking to care for you, you got to go down and get the policy changed on the steps that they're going to now take in order for that to happen. And as I say, see, all this stuff, these thoughts come through my mind. What I just said, that what came out in a real application was when I do a citizen's arrest. Don't do citizen's arrest, folks. But those of you that understand the problem, I guess you know what to do. Those of you that only heard about it and think it's a good idea, don't. You really have to research this out. It's where I tell you, before you can execute that, you better go work out with the local sheriff and or the city, whatever the police agency is. The steps between the arrest and getting them before the magistrate, which I think is universal process in all states. So you got to get them before a magistrate. You got to figure out with the officials that are going to come and arrest you and blame you for doing that, and you'll be civilly liable, with the steps you're to follow, the black and white you have to follow to exercise that right that's given in the statute already. If you don't do that, don't do it. If you don't work that out, you don't have to do it officially. You do it well. You do it privately with your communication, and they likely won't, which shows you that that's not a remedy. And so what have I just said? You build up that you don't have a remedy for private crime against you, notwithstanding the statute. That puts pressure on them. And so if you have 10 people working on this, you hit them from all these different angles. Okay, there I'm pausing again, hoping someone picks this stuff up. Starts to apply it. I'm not saying go out tomorrow. You've got to learn a lot, but you at least got a basis for action to stop all this harm against us in all these different ways. How ludicrous is it that someone comes for a welfare check, comes to do a welfare check on you and has the license to kill you? And then the story about it is she was beloved. I don't care if she was the most hated mother in the world. No one had the right to do that. And if you, those of you on the outside on the streets wanted to make a point, you hear about, remember, that's no different than we had a suspicion that we're here to help you on the street while you're trying to say, do I have the right to bear arms in the open? That's the same problem. So if you haven't picked that up, I'm telling you how to address that the very same way. These people that you're dealing with are morons, okay? The IQ minus. And they still get, why we know that? Not my opinion, folks. You go find the Supreme Court decisions. That's why you have to now delineate your life, their life, actually. Your life, so they don't take it. Their life and how they're going to properly do their job, which you now explain is a duty. You're going to have to delineate each step for them. Because somewhere in this country, and I guess globally, we've given license to this official crime. And yet there's laws, I look everywhere, there's laws against it. So how did we get there? Who allowed that? Had to be us, people. So then, I had the idea here. We have judges and cops and doctors can put someone on commit people in psychiatric hold. Where do you think the cops and not necessarily even the doctors, the cops and a judge might get evidence to be able to invoke these kinds of laws, but in all the evidence of your data, right? And then the evidence of all the stuff that they have available to that they can just type in, especially the police, in an investigation, now all of a sudden, supposedly under a whole different body of law and protection, they can get all this information. If this officer, as I've been telling you, makes up that you have a psychological threat, which you see how they're doing the red flag laws, they can make up that you need to be put under psychological hold, and then you do some kind of resistance, they just shoot you. How's that for efficiency, folks? What government efficiency? You're watching it. Is that civil rights? Sure is. You got every bit of it. Exactions of every kind. They're doing extortion right there, and no one knows to stop it. And, you know, you let it happen to the neighbor. In fact, the neighbor will call on another neighbor to let it happen, don't they? And there's no check and balance. This is not just about wellness care checks. This is on every subject matter I see in the notice we call the news. And where do they get this information? Secret FBI subpoenas for personal data go far beyond previously known. This isn't even a story. This is just notice to us. I've told you about this. I told you this is the big data. Private data is going to be, the private big data will be worse. And then they tie back in public-private partnerships. That's Agenda 21. That's the fulfillment of sustainable development. They plug back in and to give the cops the information, and then you find out the cop has the ability to put you in a psychiatric hold, which they can exploit you. And if they really want to focus on you, they'll create the evidence and the record to be able to legitimize the holding. And I don't know if you appreciate that once the system has chosen that for you, it's going to be very, very difficult. And if you don't know how to address those things in real time, Or they take away the capacity in you to do so, which they can a bit, or mostly actually, you're going to find yourself in some trouble. Now, we don't see it quite yet, but this is, I can just see this, all the pieces are in place. All of you that are younger, probably, yeah, you know, certainly Generation Z, X, whatever, those kids, wow. You know, you pass the word, they're going to need to know all this stuff if it's available to know. And how do we know that this, as we move into what these police, these are police powers, we now see our military. I keep telling you about this. We now move into that was the federal area. This is the overarching thing that everyone, all the states use, so you know they're not independent either. You also know they work in the districts, you know that's the military review. And so the FBI working now into the new modernization of America. Another coup that took out the Republic that no one responded to my dismay, I went to crickets when the coup themselves said what was going on to y'all, and you still haven't responded. The Intel community nixed the whistleblower demand on first-hand info. So if you're on the inside and you want to go after someone on the inside who may be trying to do something right, you'd know the Intel community inside the federal government has made for themselves a special license that they don't have to tell who had an idea that there was a problem in order to go after somebody. inside a system that will collect up this data that goes far beyond anybody's, well, it doesn't anybody's, but to most people's awareness of how this works, of how the condition is coming down upon you as they roll down a technocracy through this imposition of, again, sustainable development and or just military control of your society. Silently, ever present, over time, incrementally, and no one, even the ones that put being vigilant against all trespass on us in statements that they're protecting, have noticed. I'm astonished, really, at what passes people's awareness. But inside the system, you've got other dynamics as well. I've been pretty innocent about thinking about what's going on. You want to believe, folks. You want to believe it's all right. And it's not. And it hasn't been for a long time. And here's a story about how the system inside this is the blue line, how it keeps control of itself. And what happens? We've heard some of the stories of cops coming out and being whistleblowers. Now, if a cop wants to talk against that whistleblower for exposing them, the intel community is just given all jurisdictions a license on how to do that, which is the point, getting us down to local cops. Do you think it's all fine inside? Do you think the cops are just the element? They're a cover, too. And here's a story about that. Cops beaten nearly to death by fellow cops for exposing a literal gang running the department. And this is an L.A. County sheriff. There's a gang running that sheriff's department. And it didn't show up last week. It's been there for 40 or so years. And so when I tell you why, you look very carefully at what doesn't happen. Look at the silence of what doesn't happen. This starts to expose why those things don't happen. It's not just that the government's bad. It's organized crime, and then it's organized crime inside of that. If you want Russia came, or they brought their Russian nested dolls here in the United States, and they've been running this scam against you for decades and decades and decades. The cops beaten nearly to death by fellow cops. So much for the brotherhood, as they find out a gang is running inside. So I told you before, when you don't see pedophilia and the major names coming down in the system for doing this, you think, oh, then they're not doing it. They're the esteemed. They're protecting us. No, it's because there's gangs inside of gangs inside of the system that's protecting that system's organized criminal activity. First evidence, if we hadn't seen it before, again, I told you, it's more powerful that you get it from the perpetrator best. And that's why you're starting to see a pushback on anybody who tries to do FOIAs and why everything goes underneath national security. I told you they figured you out first. And I'm sad to hear it, and that means me too, but then you have to figure out, well, even so, how do we get at this? Usually there's a way. There's a way to set up the condition. I've done it a couple times when they get they don't want to talk to you about the proof. They want to keep it away from you. There's ways to get at it to prove it up. And I've explained a couple of them in the past where you set up the record and they come back and they say there's nothing there. In this case, when they're just withholding it without the national security imperative, and you say, well, you should have at least sent the letter I sent you. And so that's evidence of that you're lying. And so you pry it from them in ways. And so then you use the expectation of a right against their national security, and as I told you point out, now I've said before, and it's coming out again, you have to have evidence. Well, in fact, here's the story that brings it up. You have to have evidence that shows that their utility of a police power imperative, and in this case of this story coming up is national security, state secrets, you show it's actually a cover for an underlying crime. Now, I've not seen anybody do that, and when I do that in a less stringent area, we tend to be able to get what we need, but we expose the crime. What at least shines a light on a problem, because it puts them in a catch-22 as well. Because you are at the time when you can now place your total right against your rights to be protected and abused and derelict in the officials having the obligation and duty pretty much eliminates the need of their organization, doesn't it? We're at that day here already, but no one really sees it that way. But okay, let's move into, so inside the system, if you look around, those of us that do some of this, even the surface study I do, because I kind of focus on certain things that I'm getting accomplished, not on everything. And you see certain admissions, and so you just take them as the fact, whether or not everybody else will say it, or if anybody will just talk about it and not do anything. You just kind of move along with this information. Don't have enough time to keep in it, but you just keep track of the facts. It has long since been known the United States supports IS-IS. I've done broadcasts on it. It's been long known that Turkey is a member of NATO. How is it not known that NATO members, Turkey and United States, aren't working together in Syria? Now, where am I going with this? Because I want to talk about Syria? No. What did I just talk about setting up the you find the error, the fraud in the national security excuse, in the police power excuse, and you defeat them. How do we do that in the smoke? We show that the police power being exercised to protect was actually a fraudulent cover for harm. And that's how we eventually, part of the theory, if it wasn't a theory, it's actually, I knew it would work. It starts out as a theory, as a thought, to try and execute, and that's how partly we worked that. How did you do that? You found out that the one that was looked on as the authority underneath its police power was actually using cover, that as cover to harm people. And there was no justification for it. So let's start there. Now I'll go back to is the United States. How did we not know? I mean, I don't know. To me, it's just water under the bridge knowledge. But apparently we didn't know, because here's Zero Hedge. A half a decade late, New York Post admits IS-IS is run by NATO member Turkey. Like, that wasn't obvious when NATO was letting them into Syria. And they're a NATO member. Why a decade late do we have to wait for the New York Post is our problem as a society. That Zero Hedge has to tell you is our problem of our society. This should have been called out. Why is it important? Because we see the United States is supporting terrorism. Why is that important? Because they use that at 9/11 in order to do the things they've done to you since 2001. And now we come to the thing I've told you you're going to have to do. You don't have to do a long, deep study. You can do all the objective, official evidence that goes back to expose that this harm we call terrorism in the world is United States instituted. Because what you're up against is this military consequence that uses national security or state secrets to protect this. And so what I'm suggesting to you, as I've suggested before in a different matter on this subject matter, international news. It's not news, folks. It was evidence. Y'all who were interested should have put together here to backtrack against the United States' claim that it can keep things from you because of, or cause things to happen to you. As I've talked about the TSA and your presumption of innocence. Where did that go, folks? Against the national security imperative where you're supposed to presume innocence. Now you get to back up that whole point. They're making this stuff up with the intention to take your rights. And the proof of that is they've taken your rights. And they've now been derelict. They were there. I told you before, I've given you the start of this. The United States being derelict to stop 2001 and then blame you for it proves the point. But you have to build the facts, not your opinion, the facts of how they do it. Here's a story. It came a decade late. I don't know why it should have happened the year after this started, because it was written down what was going to happen. NATO member in Turkey. You're focusing on Turkey now, see? Now, look at the mirror. I keep telling you, the carnival mirror that Syria is against the people of the United States itself, and you'll see the truth. You'll see how to get at this thing. And here's the other point. The military's in control. What's the odds you're going to get at that, actually? Is the proof that a vigilant, educated mass of people need to see? If nothing else. Not your opinions about it. Like a little bit of a complaint. No one notices what we did in 2013 to out this method, this condition of the imposition that eventuates itself to be all our discussion about Operation Greta. It's all the same to me, folks. I don't know what's the question. It's not a question that Turkey was running IS-IS. Turkey ran in and took all the infrastructure that they could steal as soon as it happened, and they were using the oil pipelines. Why is this a question? But this exposes that the United States is working through NATO, that they instigate IS-IS, the terrorists that they claim to be fighting, which they now use in your land to use against you to keep your right, take your rights, and to take the information you need to find this out. You don't need their information to find this out. It's common knowledge that this is a fraud. Why argue the rudiments of the policy when the whole action is a fraud? And on top of that, I say it's a dereliction of duty to allow it if it's not a fraud. And you start backing up what the claim of an official is against the duty to do much better. Certainly not crime. D.C. court, state secrets privilege trumps any citizen's right to know whether or not their government is trying to kill them. This is the story of a journalist. Bilal Abdul Karim, who believes he's been placed on the government's kill list. And they're not going to give him the information to go after it. So the court came back and says, because you can't get that information because it's a state secret, your case gets dismissed, even though I find that if you could prove it, you would have a case to go forward. Here's what I've been talking about. You think this is him? You think this is about Syria? You think this is about them? This is actually about you, folks, what they've been doing to you this entire time. If you understand how to apply everything that's been going on against you in this context about how they keep working it against you and what I've been talking about, how you're going to have to work to defeat it. And there's no silver bullets or shields here, folks. This is the point about what they get you when you live in an occupied land, when the Republic is destroyed or put us under, maybe to the point of conquering it. There's not many choices, I suppose, I could say that way. So we talked to here that I told you before there was a way about the TSA list being on that, how you can expose that and put your innocence against it. They will use this imperative. This is telling you that there's a one court that's going to tell you that's absolute. What we talked about last week, it's not infinite, is it? So they promote to you that it's absolute. What I'm telling you is, well, the other court says it's not infinite. So you have to find the qualification, and you have to remove it. And part of that's fraud. Part of that's failure of a duty to cause you harm. And so I don't see this in this story anything different to tell you than what I've been telling you, that it may look like it's happening to somebody somewhere, some else, that doesn't affect you, but I'm telling you this is how this thing moves along against you. It moves in secret, and then they forget to protect themselves. And they use the so-called loopholes. And as long as you stand there flat-footed and don't work out how this works, you're going to be trapped. Someone you know will be trapped. Someone by it. They'll be killed by it. We could read the story. I don't really like reading. I think the story is not really about the story. It's about the condition that nobody responds to properly. I read through this and I say, okay, well, he's in a bad strait the way they got it worked out, and they make it sound like it's a closed loop, shut and closed case and dismissal. But I started to look, he's not challenging what I would think, as I've told you, the proper issue. And then he agreed he didn't have the evidence. And he didn't construct, like the court acknowledged in that TSA travel list case, he didn't construct the elements of what could be plausibly, reasonably concluded to be the ability to be on the list in order to move forward anyway. And so this is just us being ignorant in the tools that are available to us at a time when we are being pressed as a people counter to what we've been told and totally unaware and unavailed of the remedies against such a vile intrusion. So this, I keep talking about this police power imperative, this military imperative, actually, because you're now in international provisions and you're in federal court. And remember, you didn't hear me. What was the silence in that last discussion about the district court? We don't know if that's actually a valid jurisdiction, do we? Why? Because when you go to the statutes that produce the establishment of that jurisdiction, as we talked last week, it may or may not be compliant. And I don't see anybody ever discussion about that compliance. Not just about the judge. The judge can be Article 3. What's the court established under? It's a little bit harder to say. Some of you have done the study, and thank you very much for doing that. You got to see something. You got to see an open fraud about the judicial system. What I hear, lots of people just complain, oh, that's the 1871, it's a corporate law, this and that and the other nonsense. Yet you can get at it. Instead of complaining about it, you can make it a point. You can make it a problem for them. And so, getting beyond to this, this is a serious notice to you. State secrets privilege trumps any citizen's right to know. That gives you the notice you have to have your evidence before you go, or, as we saw in the TSA case, you have to construct the elements that would constitute, and likely no other reasonable reason, that they are doing the harm because of the thing that you're complaining about. That's on you, and that's how this place is wired. It's not your opinion that you produce. It's really pretty simple in a way, and exacting as well, and it's not very nebulous. It's either the thing is there and you can prove it, or you can create it as a proof. Things happen. They're known to happen. There's an awareness. It's called judicial notice. The court can take things that are judicially noticeable, if I could say it that way. Things that would be a consequence of themselves, of the elements. They can take cognizance of that. You can invoke that as well. You can call the court's attention to it. That's not something you demand. It's something that you place in the record. At any rate. Okay, so I've been telling you, live in the military consequence. We've been through the FBI, can do more intel. They do more intel on you inside the system. They're beating each other up. They're taking away the reasons why they have to expose what the reason is that they're after you. In this case, with that intel community thing, that was actually focusing on Trump. I think the Trump problem, where they would now not have to give a plausible reason why they even blamed something against the Trump. And that's another style of coup. Although Trump is not some sacred cow to me. He's got his own problems with what we're doing. He's just as much committing treason against the Republic as all these other people. So, again, I just see all this stuff as a bunch of problems that need to be solved, with very few people actually targeting after the problem, more picking up all the confetti relative to the other side's celebration that you haven't caught them yet. Cops go to wrong home, execute innocent man, claim it was okay because he had no rights. Cops go to wrong home, execute innocent man, and claim it was okay because he had no rights. That's fascinating to me. But this is, again, a notice. How did you respond to that? My response was, okay, that's the position they took. Let's go look at it. You might say, oh, that's wrong. What do you mean, no, got no rights? Well, let's go look at what their point is. And they actually bring up that this legal immigrant, so-called, in the country for over 10 years, living in his place with a family he'd made in this country, had a cop show up and shoot him and kill him. They were supposed to be delivering a warrant to the house next door. They justified his killing on the fact that he was an illegal alien, and the United States, this is a city now, city cops or whatever here, that the United States didn't owe him a duty of protection. And therefore he had no civil rights. Because this came out in his complaint, was the state's complaint, Ismael Lopez had no 4th or 14th Amendment civil rights as alleged in the complaint. There is no jurisdiction based on the absence of any legally recognized relationship with Ismael Lopez with the United States at the time of his death. In the alternative, there is no standing by either plaintiff due to the illegal alien status of Lopez at the time of his death, in tandem with his insufficient connection with the United States of the type, dignity, and caliber required for standing. Okay, well, this is a local jurisdiction talking about the United States. What is their jurisdiction to talk about that? First of all, and they are a person, they're not a sovereign. That's the first thing I noticed. But what are they saying here? The complaint came in on the 14th Amendment, which invokes the 4th. The 14th is what, folks? The 14th is the rights imposed upon the freed people because they weren't aware enough to make themselves a free state when they had the chance. And it's those that are what? Subject to the jurisdiction of the United States, right? That's your 14th Amendment, isn't it? Isn't that 1981? Isn't that 42 U.S.C. 1981? And underneath that analysis, Ismael Lopez being foreign to the United States and having, and the United States having no duty to give him exactions of every kind, are not recognizing any of those rights in him that would give him remedy, aren't they? And on the surface, that is a true statement. And that's because his attorney sued under the 14th Amendment, which was not meant for him. And so I have a little different look at this, and I didn't go look at the case, not going to get into it. My point is they tell you the truth right up front if you were recognizing it. And there's a different pathway Ismael could have taken. Well, no, he can't take it. He got shot to death, folks. That on a warrant that was supposed to be executed next door for domestic disturbance, nothing, no less. And what was the type of, and dignity and caliber required for standing, folks? When you go look at what the 14th Amendment says, what's the type, dignity, and caliber? This gentleman who got shot in the back and the head did not have that type, dignity, caliber. But are you, when you go read that type, dignity, caliber, do you want to have that? And yet that's presumed upon you. Because you sit in the mass of ignorance and the mass of legality that's presumed upon you because you haven't made a record contrary. I found this a very interesting discussion. I don't agree with what they're saying. There's other pathways. But on the facts of the 14th Amendment, and that there was no relationship, even though they're talking in the context of the United States, a federal authority, not a local authority within a state. In fact, just the fact of it, he wasn't a freed person that was invested with exactions of every kind through the 14th Amendment, was he? He wasn't part of the ongoing civil war in this country, was it? And I hope I'm twisting your mind a bit, because this is, if you don't understand this stuff, you're not approaching this whole thing at all the way you have to understand what's going on. And it's how I'm able to look at this and say, notwithstanding, I've told you, maybe you want to be the look like the one that has the not, the type, the dignity, and caliber to have standing, because then they can't come after you, can they? But you have to do this ahead, not after the bullet's in your back. They tell you exactly how the thing works in this country if you look right between the lines. I can't say that statement is wrong. What I can say is I think that the estate brought the complaint incorrectly. And here's the problem with that other complaint. That way, likely looking for some damages instead of equity. It would be denied because they can't let the rest of you all prisoners understand what's going on. Yeah, I guess I better stop here. Oh yeah, the attorney says it's ludicrous. Yeah, it's all ludicrous, folks. But when you look at the reality of what's going on here, you start to realize there's a truth being told to us. There's a cover being placed over our eyes that's relatively easy to pull back, if we will. And then, again, you're not going to do any action there. You're going to start to have to reorient where you think you find yourself. It's not the place we were. And then I say, yet, inside that occupied place that we find ourselves literally naked, we can still function, and I think we can do fairly well until we come as a mass to throw this whole thing back off. Why? I'm not quite yet sold on the, even though it looks like it, the idea that we're a conquered people. That's really all up to us. That's really up to us. I still think I see the opportunity, but we have to get our mind on straight, and we have to get a better word in our mouth on how to approach this, and we have to use the tactics that I've been explaining that sit inside the black and white that cannot be denied. And when you see it denied, then you see a criminal. They lose all power at that point. And so, it's the thing that I think if we have a better thought in our brain, a better word in our mouth, a better action example, it becomes more apparent to everybody how frivolous and irrelevant everything else is being said, and how really vaporous a statement that I'm standing for a republic is, how I'm going to stand on my Second Amendment rights that's been made irrelevant by so many occupations, because that's not what's about to conquer this place. It's not even actually sustainable development, notwithstanding all the support it has and the infrastructure it has. It's the will of the people and the education of the people to respond as we're told we ought to in a very special place if you look at the law of the land relative to other places in the world and the infrastructure, if you will, the institutional protections that are to be protected in them. And when they took that away, the people who did that were derelict. They lost the capacity to assert a sovereignty. Anyway, getting back to this story, I found this fascinating. You know, the illegal alien. I've told you, be the illegal alien. No, you're not the illegal alien, but make it look like you are. Be alien and foreign to the authority of the United States government. That doesn't give power to anybody to kill you, I guess is the other side of this. And you don't have to go through the 14th Amendment. And I'm a little surprised that they did, because I'm not surprised in the context that that's what's programmed into the system. The attorneys of the Bar Association are that's how they think. That's how they're going to do it. Anyway, I thought it was pretty fascinating. It's an insight to me. They use the word jurisdiction. It should have been important to you if you thought of last week. Not as many people listened to last week. Like I said, it's interesting that people anticipate they don't want to hear this stuff. But if you listen to no jurisdiction basis, exactly the defense the government did against what you should be doing the same way in your capacities when they wrongly come against you. And they're saying because he was alien to us, he doesn't have a right of a remedy underneath that provision. And I would have to say, underneath that provision, they're correct. And I've also told you this is how the problem with the courts is in these cases, why you can't rely on them. If a case goes wrong and they argued the wrong and restricted right that they wasn't applicable to them, or they don't assert the correct imposition against the obligation and duty, they will lose, and you will think that that means you. And it doesn't. Now, again, I said, United States, it's insufficient connections with the United States. That's just a commercial argument, folks. This is a nexus problem he also brings up. This is fascinating, actually, interpretation when you go back through as I see this. But insufficient connections with the United States of the type, dignity, and caliber required for standing. Do you want the standing that allows them to impose exactions of every kind on you? Is how I read that, folks. And if you don't, you're going to have to figure out what this means and how to apply it so you are like Ismael Lopez, hopefully before the bullet hits you in the back, and you have some measure of protection built in to the other things you also understood so you don't become Ismael Lopez. And I just want to stop talking. If you understood what I just said, folks, there's a time when my mind just says if they understood that, we've got this. But you don't. And so, you've got to keep talking, I guess, for your own protection, hopefully. Try to keep a couple of you out of it. Maybe not get a couple of you in trouble. Tactical doctors, paramedics, and firefighters are excited to arrest people. As we move this military consequence in and the officials all become enforcers, this is not actually a surprise to me that the firefighters and paramedics would have an arrest power. Actually, the chief of fire, I think, already had it. What I'm saying here, though, is when I was in voluntary fire years and years and years ago, decades, they came in through, I think it was the 80s, and they took out the chiefs and replaced them with police officers who became chiefs of fire. And the chief had a right to carry a gun as an officer. He was no longer just a firefighter. And that is when we started to learn they were changing your emergency response. It wasn't hard for me to extrapolate forward till today. We now read the story. Tactical doctors, paramedics, and firefighters are excited to arrest people. Every first responder is going to be given underneath a plausible idea they need to help. They need to help do the arrests and do the law enforcement to become a police officer in the capacity. It's also limited liability as well, and be trained to do tactical attacks. If you understand the insanity about this, but this is where it's going. They're telling us it's here. What I saw in the 80s is now fulfilling it through the ranks of all first responders. Underneath this fraud called terrorism and this need to now fight terror of any form, foreign and domestic. They're even using your own, all you in military, they're using your oath against you and you haven't responded against that. It's really fascinating how they pull this off and they get people to believe in this stuff. notwithstanding the promotion that's been going on about how great a firefighter is, how great the EMS worker is. And for that utility, I have no qualms. Yes, perfect. But now they're not, see, folks. So they come under the cover of Juan Valdez and his donkey. I don't know what to say. I just want to shut up. I wish people understood how far away from a republic we are, where the infiltration is, how it continues, how nobody is stepping up to stop it, how no voice will step up to do the right things in the right way to do so. You'll go out and you'll protest. I see so many people protest. But that's not how you stop this stuff. And in the way, the actual application, it's not even how you stop this stuff when you start to know. I've told you, you have to come up with unique approaches to go get past the filters that are put in to stop change in the restoration, I guess, is the point of that. Not change. They want to do the change. It's this incremental change that's killing us. And yet there's foundational laws and principles of the land that they are not supposed to violate, that they are, that they don't get called on. And everybody, I get all these, I see these comments here and there that just kind of dismiss this point. That's what I say. This is not a hoax, folks. This is not something you just call a hoax and it's done. These people are out here to harm you and to give themselves license under plausible care and security. Now the EMS is going to be coming. They'll shoot you too. Think that it stopped at the police, come for wellness care? No, the EMS guy will shoot you now. The firefighter just shoots you. And if you ever had to walk in, see, being of a little bit of a firefighter, being a volunteer firefighter, being at fought fires, you kind of get in to want to help when you can. If you've ever walked into a city fire being fought, they don't care about your expertise to help them. Their organization is more important, and they'll threaten to arrest you instead of try to use you. Now, at some level, I get that because they're a crew. But when you got a house that, like I've been involved a few times, houses that the fire department's losing, and you have some experience, you think that they'd want to have your help. But no, because it's a gang now. And they'll threaten to arrest you for trying to help. They don't want your help, but they'll impose their help. And that should send you a message to you about how this is starting to work. The internals of a system will be immune. They will fight inside about keeping that. They will beat each other up to maintain that status quo. It's why I don't get involved in some things and keep following through, like I was talking with the Epstein. That's a really big deal, but it's only for those that are going to be able to take this information and more to what I'm telling you in application, apply it to do a thing in the end. Not just out the dirty laundry, but actually do this. And why there was a story a long time back, Epstein's accomplices will not face federal charges in Florida. That was like I told you, I think I mentioned this before, it was like hearing the Khashoggi was melted down into liquid and poured down the drain. You're not getting at this one. The inside protects itself. When you see this, there's a bigger gang going on. And you need to refocus on what, if anything, you can do about that if you're going to spend time there. If you're spending time, why would you want to waste your time? It's, time's ticking, folks. And so these internal systemic protections are notices. And you really need to step back about the amount of work you can do in certain areas before you commit time to some of this. Why I've kept telling you, maybe go local, because that's probably where you're going to be able to do this. And as I've been able to prove to you, going local can actually affect the national. But it's in a very indirect way, and it comes in a way that, they do transparency against us, we do this transparently against them. They don't even see we're there. And then they embrace what we're doing. It's really a fascinating dynamic. And so the inside of the system, when you see the inside of the system protecting each other, are setting up protections. That's the system, folks. You can just tie all these people together. They're all working together. And you're likely not going to get at it. Oh, you're going to fluff you're going to expose all the dirty laundry. But it's eventually not actually going to mean anything. And as you expose it, if you don't get ahead of it before you start attacking it, they'll start producing protections inside the system. I think I've even actually seen a couple of that coming out of this. So this is how the system identifies itself to us, that we don't have to even ask questions about it. And we can then make a decision, okay, they got shut down, they got exposed to this limit. Who has the techniques and talent to go in and get the things they need to expose a thing that we can do something about? It's a totally different analysis, is what I tell you to have to do in all these things that where you find they're harming you, your neighbor, your family, whatever you feel comfortable to apply yourself to. But it's time we did that. We have to apply ourselves to something. Because when you don't, all this stuff we see that's harming you and set up to harm you and set up inside to continue the harm against you continues. And then in this next report, we come off and I go, okay, I don't know what the problem here. Then we get us being all feeling like we're all hurt. We got a hurt to feel. Infuriating report reveals DMVs across the U.S. are selling your personal info and making millions. Why is he infuriated? It's part of the black and white that allows the commercial DMV to sell your stuff in commerce. It shows you the system is not public-private. It's public-private. See, one has a hyphen and one doesn't. Why is this author infuriated about your DMV records? Why were you signing up as a commercial resident? A commercial resident, actually, yes. You said it right. Your personal info. What about your private? Don't give it to them. Personal is that business. Person. It's a legal entity within the state. You give it over to them and you agree to all this. Why is this guy infuriated? Lots of people will be infuriated. But it's wrongly placed. The system is about itself. It's how they get the information. It's what the police are using to make the decisions. Now, the law in Florida would put this guy away because he walked in and said, I need some help. They exploit you at every turn. They exploit you especially when you're weak. That's another thing I forgot to mention. That's when you show a weakness, they're an animal. They come after you. They go right for the throat. So we want to put our emotions on our shoulder and be infuriated that the DMV records that we handed to them and signed a signature to because we told them that we're using the road for commerce and have employees and labor considerations, all within the state's police power because of past people exploiting other people. We're missing how this thing gets wired up, and we're always going to make the wrong thing. We're going to make an article that says we're infuriated and do nothing about it. Do nothing about stopping the problem. Which, how you do that? You don't stop their system. You start stop. You learn how to stop the participating with the system. And yes, I've seen the comments. Oh, I got to get a driver's license so I don't get put in jail. Yeah, that's the problem, isn't it? And so there's another. You got to take another step back. How do we approach this problem? That's evidence of an occupier too. That's not following actually law of the land. And I'll expose to you how you get to the law of the land, which is not a circuitous route. You're standing on it. It has foundational principles that those officials, have to recognize. And when they don't, you have them in felony. Well, what good does that do? Well, I don't know. What kind of a society do you want to live in? You want to live in one where you're always subjected to felony and exactions of every kind, or do you want to stand up and be private and you be independent of all the non-dependent on all that and be able to prove you're like Mr. Lopez before he gets a bullet in the back of the head, but he's running from the door when he sees the cops coming in to issue a warrant for the house next door? Okay, I'm getting excited again. But we act infuriated because someone sells our... I told you, folks, the government and big data is going to be the worst thing that we have to contend with. Now we add the idea that these records are being used by police in order to look on your care and take care of you. And it's not actually your care, it's their care, their bottom line. The government, you think they're here to help you. We know that's a joke to the choir, but you think that they're there to do something. And in some regard, they have the capacity in a good way, but they've extended it long time ago to incorporate the right to shoot you on a welfare check. Most insane concept I've ever heard of, and yet we allow it. These are all the same people whom would tell you that they're helping you, and yet they're harming you, and you sit there as crickets and let it. Oh, it hadn't happened to me yet. I feel pretty fortunate, don't I? That's freedom. Yeah, that's the range of motion you have within the construct that you live in, because it's not free. The government will come after your needs. The government will exploit everything you think you need to have and don't challenge. What's the jurisdiction of the DMV? And you walk right in and hand your signature over to agree to it. And then you're infuriated that they take this data, but the government, the legislature has said, oh, you could, you take that information. It's just commerce anyway. It's public. Let's privatize it. Who does that go to? Third parties that are doing what with it, folks? That's the other part of that story, which I don't read. Sometimes I think I should read. It'll scare you to death. Things I don't even understand are going on with all this stuff. There's someone there to grab and do something wrong with about everything you hear about. But I don't know where that came from. That's not my psyche. That's probably why I don't get it. I don't see that part. I have to read about it. But that's why, and more important, we have to stop it on the front end so it can't go further. I guess you could go and get legislation that when you want to hand your public information for commerce over to the DMV, that they can't hand it out so well, that you end up finding out, like legalization of pot, they make it good for the state and harder for you because it's legalized. I guess you could do that. Or how about you learn what they're doing violates your ingress and egress rights in the law of the land as grants obligations against what they're doing, and they're fraudulently imposing the code, the commerce code, on you. Not the way you all have heard how to say it, the more the way I'm telling you how to get it stated. And you don't do that as a jeopardy. You do that over a record-making campaign, if you will, with a focus point to expose not a right you may have, but their extension of their limited authority into places that it isn't lawful, thereby showing you the place that you are, that is where you stand instead, and outside, foreign to that jurisdiction, the word we were talking about last week. So the governments are here, they want to harm us, they want to make things underneath this new normal to harm us, but we stand back, we complain. One of these stories coming out of the public lands, you think you need heat, you think that you need firewood, and then this judge comes along and it shuts down two states. Utility actually shuts down the entire management of the Forest Service National Forests in Arizona and New Mexico. And so the article comes out to talk about, oh, we're not going to have any firewood. Instead of talking about the violation of the law the judge did, or the sue and settle that's invalid and unlawful, that are harming people, and underneath what? Environmental considerations, which are where? The EPA, which is what? A guy who gets a rush out of lying to you. I mean, how hard is it to get to the point that this is all wrong, and that then you point out the what? The black and white that says even this judge's ruling, if we want to agree they had jurisdiction, that the territorial court was an Article III court, then the decision isn't reflective of the Endangered Species Act or NEPA or the obligation and duty of the Forest Service to make these force productive. Where was that comment? No, it doesn't exist because no one wants to place it forward. No, you'd rather sit there and now people are going to go cold. And this is what the EPA wanted because they don't want you burning wood. They don't want you with the energy you need. They don't want you out in the forest. Then this is how they're going to prove it. And a judge helped and aided this. There was no limitation on this order as well, which is a violation. And yet we sit back and we like it. We apparently like it. The people with the firewood that need to go get firewood to sell it to other people aren't making the right complaints. They just complain they can't do it. That's not a right and proper complaint. It's not going to work. There's got an equity action right there, folks. If you just want to step up, look how many equity actions they could have to make a point. But they won't. We won't do it as a society or a people. I want us to rethink that. Thank you, Grimmer, for what you do at reallibertymedia.com. For all you do in keeping us going there and keeping the lights on and the hardware and all that stuff. And Jules or UCY.TV and SoundMind, thank you for your rebroadcasts and syndication there. And anybody posting the links, thank you very much. And the favorites and all that thing, I guess, whatever works to get the word out. I'll be with you next week, tech diffs or nature willing.
Well, that's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, I just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.